Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight that you have blessed us with another opportunity at life. We are thankful, Lord, for this gospel meeting that you've allowed us to have, and are thankful for the many souls who've been able to participate since the month of May. We are hopeful, Lord, tonight that someone listening is searching for the truth, and we are confident, Lord, that tonight you have placed the manservant in our direction who will stand in their path and to declare unto them the bread of life. We pray, Lord, that he only speak those things that can be read in your inspired word. Pray, Lord, he stand fast and stand bold on those tenets as they pertain to your son, Jesus, the great sacrifice he made at Calvary, the empty sepulcher, and the church that he purchased with his own blood. We pray, Lord, tonight that he let us know about the covenant that he established, the covenant, Lord, that all men are under and are amenable to. We pray, Lord, tonight that someone listening will accept this message as your pure and unadulterated word and obey the gospel. Bless us with the increase. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very thankful to have each and every person on. Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. If you're on the call, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We encourage you to open your Bible and take notes of the things that we spoke of tonight by our speaker. Our speaker is a person, Brother Ricky Cook from Laurel, Maryland. And Brother Cook has been on our program before. We're so thankful he accepted our invitation to come back to be with us again. He serves as the minister of the Laurel Church of Christ there in Laurel. And we're so thankful he has joined us again tonight. We actually give your attention to him as he will speak. We've been speaking about the same thing this week, speaking about love. First week we did faith, hope, now love. And he would talk about love as the fulfilling of the law. All right, Brother Cook, let's hear what you got to say tonight.
Thank you, and certainly we want to say good evening to all of those who are listening. And first and foremost, we want to thank our Father and our God in heaven for all of his love, mercy, and blessings. We need to be mindful of the fact that God is good to us because of who he is and in spite of who we are. Now, it is not uncommon for God's righteousness and even his existence to be questioned because of the adversity and suffering that exist in this life. But I believe it is necessary to be said that we have pain and suffering in our world, not because of God, but because of man. In our desire to be independent and in our determination to choose our own path, we trouble ourselves. But an honest and objective look at life reveals that God is faithful, God is just, and God is ever loving. The psalmist has declared in Psalm 107, verses 8, 13, and 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And I cast my lot with the psalmist. God is good to us. He is better to us than we are to ourselves. And for all of God's blessings, we ought to be eternally grateful. Now, again, we want to thank everyone who has tuned in to this phone call. And in particular, if you are not yet a member of the Lord's Church, then you have our very deepest appreciation for taking the time to be with us. Now, we want to remind you at the outset of our examination of the scripture under consideration for this evening that the Bible can stand investigation, and for that reason, we encourage you to take up your Bibles, turn with us to Romans chapter 13. This will be the foundation for the message this evening. Certainly, we want to replicate the example of the Bereans, where it is noted in Acts 17, verse 11, that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And so we want to take the time that we have tonight to search the scriptures whether these things are so. If you have your Bible and you are with us there in Romans chapter 13, I want to read there verse number 10. Romans 13, verse 10 in your Bibles. "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And as has been indicated from this passage of Scripture, our subject this evening is love is the fulfilling of the law. And as we consider the text that we have before us here in Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul has made a very important declaration. He has said that love is the fulfilling of the law. And at the outset of our consideration of this passage of Scripture, let us observe that God is and always has been a God of law. There was a law given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You remember in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17 that God told them that they could eat freely of every tree in the garden except for the one in the center, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was God's law to Adam and Eve. In the days of Moses and the children of Israel, God had a covenant, had a law with the first covenant people. Paul, in fact, quotes from this law in verse 9, the verse prior to the one we read in verse number 10. Paul quoted from the law of Moses. And even today, under grace and truth in Christ Jesus, God is still a God of law. In your Bibles, in Galatians 6 and verse number 2, there the Bible declares, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, for clarity's sake, let us observe the meaning of love in the context of this scripture. And I believe this is necessary because the word love is used so widely in our vocabulary. You know, we will use the word love in reference to food. You know, everybody has a food that they not just like, but we will use the word I love. And in my case, I love sweet potato pie. But then we will also use the word love in reference to people. And all of us have people that are near and dear to us. You may hear me say that I love my wife. Now, I pray that no one is under the misconception that I in any way hold sweet potato pie on the same level as I do my wife. Now, I may use the same word, but the word has a different context depending on how we use it. So when we read here in Romans 13 and verse number 10, where Paul says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law," love, as it is used in the context here, is not talking about how we feel or what we think. Love is manifested through what we do. See, love is much more than talk. Ladies, how do you know that a man loves you? I mean in the truest sense of the word loves you. I submit to you that if a man loves you, you know that not by what he says, but by what he does. See, anyone can talk, and the word love quite often is thrown around rather loosely. But when a man loves you, it will be manifested in his actions. He's going to put a ring on your finger and walk down the aisle with you and come home at night. And when he comes home, he's going to bring his paycheck with him when he gets there. Now, that's not part of my subject necessarily, but it may bless someone's living. But love is manifested by what we do. And when we talk about love being the fulfilling of the law, let us appreciate that love and law need one another. It has been said that love needs law for its direction, while law needs love for its inspiration. And I believe that statement is true, and we want to examine that statement in the light of the scripture here in Romans 13 and verse number 10. Now, we have stated that love needs law for its direction. Now, again, the idea of love in this context, it transcends emotion or feeling, and I hope we appreciate that emotions and feelings are at best an unstable standard. In Proverbs 14 and verse number 12 in your Bibles, there the wise man declared, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." See, I believe Solomon understood something about emotions and feelings. Emotions and feelings are very subjective, and they change, and they come, and they go, and they're not necessarily based on truth so much as they are based on the circumstance that we may be going through at the time. So depending on my mood, my emotions, or what I feel can change. But the word of God is a settled word. It always says the same thing, no matter what your mood may be when you read it. But love needs law for its direction. I believe the truth of this observation is seen in the declaration of Jesus in John 14 and verse number 15 in your Bibles. In John 14, verse number 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, according to Jesus, love is manifested through obedience to his commands, not through emotion or feeling. And it's very important that we heed the words of the master. You know, we are living in a world that is trying its level best to eliminate standards and morals. And what may seem right changes from one person to another. There's no stability when we go by emotions or feeling. And from the mouth of Jesus, an unmistakable and undeniable relationship exists between love and obedience. Now, the gospel, the words of Christ, is our law, is our standard. And we need to be aware of the fact that God is so sure that his word is the standard that he doesn't even argue with us about whether or not this is so. Now, again, in your Bibles, in John, this time John 12 and verse number 48, Jesus says, he that receiveth me not and rejecteth my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, Jesus tells us, I'm not going to argue with you about whether or not my law is the standard. My word, my law is the standard, and you will be judged by my word in the last day. And appreciate, love needs law for its direction. You see, where there is no law, there is no standard for unity or accountability. And the word of God, which is the standard, declares that love is demonstrated, that love is manifested by how one treats another. Hear the Lord again there in Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's all about how we treat one another. But then consider the second point. Law needs love for its inspiration. When Paul declared love to be the fulfilling of the law, he had in mind more than just doing the right thing. Now, we know this because it's possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason. When Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 17, he said, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Now, hear what Paul says there in Philippians 1, 15 through 17. Some were doing the right thing, but they were doing the right thing for the wrong reason. They were not preaching the gospel of Christ because they loved the Lord and they loved other people. They were preaching the gospel, Paul says, of envy and strife. Some preached hoping that it would make the situation harder for Paul. See, with God, it's not just a matter of doing the right thing. It's a matter of doing the right thing for the right reason and with the right spirit. And it is for this reason that Paul declared to the Christians at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, that God loves a cheerful giver. Now, not just one who will give, because Paul cautioned them, don't give grudgingly. Don't give because you feel like you have to, because there's this sense of compulsion driving you. We ought to give because it is our way to show our appreciation for the fact that God has blessed me with something to give in the first place. So we have to do the right thing for the right reason and with the right spirit. and appreciate when we talk about love needing law for its inspiration, to act of love is to keep what is being done from being burdensome. I'm sure there are some parents in our audience, and I would venture that of the parents in our audience, some of you have sat up with a sick child. Now, let me ask you, was that burdensome that you had to sit up with your sick child? Now, it may have been difficult, it may even have been taxing, but it wasn't burdensome. Why? Because you love your child and would gladly do whatever it takes for their well-being. Well, this is the idea behind law needs love for its inspiration. Consider, love not only moves us to do the right thing, it moves us to do the right thing to the best of the ability that God gives us. When you stop and think about it, what was God's inspiration in giving Christ Jesus? Well, don't we read in John 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, love inspired God to do the very best that could be done with our salvation in mind. So then the question begs to be asked, how does one respond to God's love? Well, let me submit to you that love, number one, is a choice. And even as God has chosen to love us, he gives us the opportunity and the privilege to reciprocate. When we choose to submit to the gospel of Christ Jesus, we are demonstrating our love for the Lord. Now, make no mistake about it, God has a law, God has some commands that must be obeyed if we are to be saved. We read in the Word of God in Romans 10, verse number 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to turn to God's Word not only as the starting point, but also as the ending point of what God wants us to do in terms of being saved. And I think that's important to be said because just about everybody has something to say when it comes to salvation. But if we want to obey God, then we need to turn to the Word of God to hear what God requires. Well, God requires that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is his Son. In John 8, verse 24 in your Bibles, there it is declared, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that his word is the law that we need to live by, then we must be willing to repent of our sins. In Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, it is declared there that there was a time when God winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has appointed, and that man being Christ Jesus. Now, from Acts 17, 30 and 31, we learn that, that the law of God is going to be the standard by which we are judged. We must be willing to make the confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew 10, verse 32, there Jesus declares, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And having done all of that, the Word of God, the law that God gives us, requires us to be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus so that we can be added to the Lord's church, the church of Christ. In Acts 2, verse number 38, the question was asked after hearing the gospel preached for the first time, men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse number 37. In context, they wanted to know what did God require in order for them to be reconciled. And in verse 38, Peter answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's how God works according to what we are told in his word. When we submit to God's law, the gospel of Christ Jesus, by being baptized in water, when we go down into the waters of baptism, God washes away our sins by the blood of Christ Jesus, indwells us with his Spirit, and he adds us to the Church of Christ. And when we come up out of the waters of baptism, it is articulated in Romans 6, verse number 4, that we ought to walk in the newness of life. We ought to fulfill the law of Christ by loving him, demonstrated by our obedience to his commands. If you are listening to this broadcast, please contact the originators of this program or your local congregation of the Church of Christ, and someone will be more than happy to help you put Christ Jesus on in baptism. Thank you. God bless you, and God keep you.
And thank you, my brother. We appreciate you so very much for that lesson on love and the fulfilling of the law. We thank you, and we pray for you and your congregation there in Maryland. We're so thankful that you accepted our invitation, and what a magnificent job you've done tonight. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we speak the truth in love. We want you to be saved, and we want you to obey this truth. Now, we know people who are listening to us love God, love his word, and God loves those who are out here in this world. He so loved the world that he gave his son. But his response by us, his desire for us to respond to him in love. And that law is just what he told us to do in order to show our love for him. And so if you're on the call tonight and you love God, why don't you obey him? Be baptized for the remission of your sins and be added to the one true church. It's written in the law of love, the New Testament. And we would encourage you to get back with the person who invited you to hear this message tonight, a friend of yours, a loved one, a friend, a family member. And go ahead on and tell them you want to obey. You want to love God and respond to his love. And you do that by being obedient to his commands. And that way you can be saved. So if they can't help you and get you, if you need further Bible study or you have other questions you want answered, before you obey, then go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will set the Bible class up for you. We'll make the arrangements for wherever you are in our listening audience to be baptized if you so desire. We want to help you if we can. Go ahead and email us. Now, you may want to go back and listen to this message again. Brother Ricky gave us a lot of scriptures. You may want to slow it down and listen to it if you need to, and rewind it and study it again for yourself. It's on our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. Just go in the corner at the top. It says More. It says Nationwide Gospel Call. You can listen to all of our calls for the month of May last year and up to now. And you can download them. They're free. Everything's there for you. And you can listen to them on your way to work, or you just sit in the privacy of your home for personal study. All these topics are on there for you. We want you to please take advantage of that. Let us pray to God. Father, we thank you for your blessings of life. We thank you for Jesus, your only Son, whom you gave, and he gave his life. And it was he who said, greater love had no man than this, that laid down his life for his friends. Father, we thank you that you commended your love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, your Son would die. And what a cruel death he had to die. We are so thankful that he loved us enough to go through the pain and the shame and to shed the blood and wash our sins away in baptism and purchase his bride, his church, the Church of Christ. We pray for our visitors, Lord, that they understand what we're doing through this call. It's speaking the truth in love. Holding to your book called the Bible. We dare not add to it. We dare not take away from it. But speak it as written. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, another great night. Another great night, Thursday night. Brother Cook did a magnificent job. Tomorrow night, a new speaker coming on, Brother Clay Bond. Greater love had no man. That'll close out our lessons this week on speaking about the same thing, love. And then next week, we'll get into salvation. Speaking about being saved. Oh, you don't want to miss none of these calls. We got a great, great group of new speakers coming on for the month of March. Oh, my goodness. It's been so nice to meet so many sound brethren across the nation, and you all will have a whole list of new speakers next month, and it's been a joy for me to meet them and talk to them and to know that we have not, for those who know the Bible, we got a lot of men who have not bowed to Baal. And that means they have not given up on the truth. They hold to the truth and is teaching the truth and speaking the truth. So we love you all. Thank you so very much for joining us. We know this is a tough time for the world with the COVID and the cold. I call it the cold syndrome, COVID and cold at the same time. But God is still in control. To whom would you liken God? He can't be compared to anyone. He's our God. He's on the throne, and he knows what's going on. And just relax and trust in God. Everything's going to be all right. I hope y'all have a good night. Maybe that'll encourage you to sleep with peace. We love you all.